Hi, it's the Agriculture Show. Thanks, folks, for listening today. It is April the 9th of 2004, episode 301, and it's the day after the eclipse in southern Ontario. Quite good fun. The skies went dark, but we're still here, and we're glad you are listening to us today on CKMS Radio, Community Radio, in Kitchener-Waterloo. Today's guests are Mary Atkins and Gazah Shabrew, and we're going to play some songs right off the bat. And whose song choice is this? And tell us a little bit about it. We'll come back and talk some more about it.
Hi, hello. Good afternoon to all your listeners and people out there. The first song is Share the Land by the Guess Who, composed by Randy Bachman and Burton Cummings, inspiring us to... For the importance of banding together, guarding our land. They're from the center of Canada, Winnipeg, heartland of some of the agriculture in Canada. And it was done during the early 70s, a time of upheaval, not a lot unlike today. Bringing us together, helping each other, sharing compassion, laughing, and being stewards of the land. So take it away.
We're coming down on different things that people do. Have you been aware? You got brothers and sisters who care about what's gonna happen to you in a year from now. Maybe I'll be there to shake your hand. Maybe I'll be there to share the land that they'll be giving. When we all live together, I'm talking about together now. Maybe I'll be there to shake your hand. Maybe I'll be there to share the land that they'll be giving away. When we all live together, I'm talking about together now. When the paper landed in your yard, do you know their names? Can you play their games without losing track and coming down a bit too hard? Oh, maybe I'll be there to shake your hand. Maybe I'll be there to share the land that they'd be giving away when we all live together. We're talking about together now. Maybe I'll be there. Talking about together now.
Hello, it's Chris Garrett from the Township of Amaranth at CKMS 102.7 Radio Waterloo.
Ontario's rural communities and agri-food sector hold tremendous promise for driving economic growth for the entire province and all Ontarians. By distributing the economic development throughout the province, with infrastructure investment in roads, bridges, schools, broadband, energy, and healthcare, we can create new jobs in thriving communities, ease the strain on big city issues of transportation and housing, and most importantly, we can secure a sustainable food system that every Ontarian depends on. A thriving rural economy can spearhead growth for the entire province. Find out more at producingprosperity.ca.
Good afternoon, folks. It is Agriculture Show, episode 301. Today's guests are Mary and Gaza. And we're talking about all kinds of fun things, our usual music collections, and the topics that our visitors are bringing to us today. And it's just going to be wonderful to hear all their stories and their agricultural stories. So that was our first song, and we're going to play the second song. I'm going to ask Gaza if he'd be so kind as to tell us a little bit about this song he's going to play, and we'll play it and find a little bit about him after that. Go ahead.
It is on Orange Flesh Sweet Potato. Mm-hmm. This project started in Uganda, and then we started playing it across Africa because Orange Flesh Sweet Potato is one of the things you need for malnutrition when it comes to children and mothers.
You heard of OSP. Seminyami Sweet Potato.
This is Scarlett from Paris. You are listening to CKMS 102.7, RadioWaterloo.ca. Thanks for looking out for each other. You are not alone.
Farming can be a tough business, one that sometimes takes its toll on farmers and their families when mental health struggles become too much to bear. I know farmers are some of the toughest people out there, but they tend to hold their troubles close to the chest. Sometimes it means it's harder to reach out for help. We want to help address the stigma that still surrounds mental health and encourage people to talk about it. It takes courage. Please know that help is out there, and it's always okay to ask for help.
Good day, folks. Thanks for listening in. You could be doing a lot of things on a Tuesday. You're here with us. Thank you very much. And today's guests are come to us all the way from locally, thankfully, because they're representing a group that is headquartered in Ottawa. We'll get around to that. But first of all, Gaza, tell us a little bit about that song, if we would, please.
So this orange flesh sweet potato, the African culture goes with oral music culture. And what we did was we brought famous people to play a suspension drama series.
Okay.
And that drama series will go for about 5 minutes, and then the story will continue for the whole 60 episodes, but the drama finishes after 60 episodes. So between the dramas, we play the Orange Flesh Sweet Potato and okay. the message.
Yeah.
That's how we reach mm-hmm. the farmers. This is also done in different local languages. Mm-hmm. This is in English, but it's done in different local languages. Mm-hmm. Like we did it in 15 local languages in Uganda. This
Very
is
nice.
Sung in Uganda.
Okay, folks, so you can kind of get a flavor of what we're going to go. We're talking about today. We'll do it in a short bit. First of all, we're going to get to know our guests a little bit more, and I'm going to ask them, how many people sit around your Christmas feast table or a family celebration time? Mary, you got a big smile on your face. Tell us how many people sit around your table.
Well, going back many, many years, up to 20, 25 people, all generations on the family farm. Now on our rural place where we are with grown family and people spread out a little bit, we just have four of us once in a while. But we have a kind of a makeup of friends, too, who come. People who have nowhere to go at Christmas or they're needing company, friends of the family, that sort of thing. But whenever we have the opportunity, we try and gather as many as possible. And, of course, using FaceTime if we need to reach those farther away, for sure.
So any Christmas traditions you have, do you open up your presents the night of Christmas or the day?
Well, it's usually spread out a little bit. We don't have an awful lot under the tree anymore. It's more about being together and enjoying the meal. And we usually take a little tree off the property somewhere up on a hill and one that's underneath the shadow of a larger tree and bring it in and we decorate it with ornaments going back 120 years and right up until now. And it's pretty special when we haul that thing across the snow. Well, if we get it.
Yeah, if we get it. Thanks for that story. You know, our guests all have great stories about celebration. Gazan, tell us, when your family gets together for a family feast or a celebration, how many people are sitting around that table?
Well, it varies from season to season. If you talk about Christmas, usually I came from Ethiopia, and it is an Orthodox country, and Christmas is celebrated on January 7th. So, and there is no gift. We don't give gift to each other, and usually the closest family knits and the neighbors could come together. That can vary between 8 to 15 people. But the whole day, the house will be open for the neighbors to come in and share the meals you have. Mm-hmm. Because where I grew up, some people may not have meals during the day, during the celebration. So they usually are invited over to have meals, either together with the family or later during the day and the evening. So when you say counting, eating one meal could vary. That is a close family. But the whole day, the house is open. People will come, feast, and drink. That's what happens usually.
Yeah, that's a great story. And I'm always fun to ask that question because people have some really lovely traditions and what they do around holidays. And that's your top of the list. That's a good one. By any chance, do you always consider yourself the chief cook, or do you have a specialty you like to produce for that family feast? Maybe you have the best bean recipe going. I don't know. Do you like to cook something for that, or is that your skill set?
Well, it is not. Usually, in the household, it is the women. The kitchen facility is they usually cook the meals. And we men, the men or the boys, they get other stuff like the meat, the wood, this stuff. So there is a division of labor, the drink, the cooking. But now it is changing. When I grew up, it was like that. But now with modern kitchen coming, men also are cooking together with their wives and their children. Yeah. So I do that at home now with my wife when we are at our home in Addis.
Gotcha.
So at my mom's place, it's totally different. Yeah. She wants to cook for the entire family. This is one of the things she wants to do. Yeah. And she's still alive, and she enjoys doing that.
Okay, good stuff. I like that. We're going to play some more music, folks. We got lots of great music from our guests. Who's up next? And whoever's choice that was is going to talk a little bit about it. What do you got queued up on your playlist there for us, Kazan?
I have this song here.
No, so I did a little bit of yapping there, so I wouldn't take it by too much by surprise, but here you go.
Yeah, so...
Well, that's good. We'll play it. We'll be back, folks. Stay locked in. We're back. Here we go.
Just down the low, by you, yard, I don't mind you, no, my darling. Hi, it's Brianne from Grand Valley, and you're listening to CKMS 102.7 Radio Waterloo.
I'm Dave Piper from the North Dumfries Historical Preservation Society. What do I like about community radio? Well, I think it helps create an identity for the local community. And all communities have to have some and need some form of identity to appreciate what's going on around them.
Hi, folks. Thanks again for listening in today. We have great show, great guests, and great music. Gizwa, can you tell us a little bit about this song? I loved your story in between. There's actually two languages in that song, right?
Yeah, two languages in the story. In Ethiopia, there are Amharic, yep. Is one of the largest speaking language, and Oromofa is the largest population in the country. So the mm-hmm. song is sung in Oromofa, which the gentleman was singing, and the lady was singing in Amharic. So this song reaches to the largest audience in the country. Yeah. And let me talk about what it is about. Funded by the Global Affairs, Dr. Michael, this is an individual, actually. He's a Canadian doctor. Yeah. He goes out, raised funds, and he came to us, and it's very low budget, and we have hundreds of radio stations we work with, both community, government, and commercial radio station. And he said, I don't have money, but I need to access the largest population, because tragically, in the country, one in every 250 pregnancies result in the death of the mother. Mm. One in 33, the death of the newborn baby. So every year, over 12,360 women die during pregnancy, and half of them on the day they deliver. Mm-hmm. So women who go to the health facilities have the opportunity to receive the life-saving care for themselves and their babies. So this song is, there is a YouTube to support it, says that those of you who can hear this, listen. Yeah. Instead of the home delivery, go to the closest clinic, and so this is a message.
Yeah, that's good. That makes good sense, and it'll make a lot more sense for us when we get into more about our guests here today. So, I'm going to ask you guys, if you'd be so kind, we're going to talk a little bit about what do you do. So, you know, hobbies, other causes you believe in, but of course we don't want to forget the main topic here. But so, what do you do? You want to start, Gaza? What do you do?
Well, I work for Farm Radio International.
Do you have any hobbies by chance?
Do I have hobbies? Actually, I have plenty of hobbies.
Oh, and tell us about that.
I like to read. I like to to travel.
Yeah.
One of now my it's not actually a hobby, passion in this age, is that I pick kids across the streets in Africa,
yep.
and pay for their school fee, because going to school changing my life. So I believe in helping children to come back, to get back into school, helping them to finish school is one of the things myself and my wife like to do. And there are many children out there on the streets. So this is one of the things I am doing and I will be doing in my retirement age.
So I cut you off there. Tell us about where you first started talking about something called Farm Radio International. What do you do?
Well, in Farm Radio International, I am the Senior Director of Operation and mm-hmm. Human Resource.
Very nice.
We have projects across Africa, East, West, and Sub-Saharan Africa in particular. So we have country offices mm-hmm. like in Ethiopia, in Uganda, in Tanzania, in Ghana, in Burkina Faso, Ivory Coast, Democratic Republic of Congo, Burkina Faso. So what I do is I coordinate this project, see the operations, see how the funds being sent are well spent.
Yep.
I travel to the field and see value for money audit I do. So is the funds being sent from here directly went into the projects, reached the community, the farmers. So this is what I do on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. And I have been doing it for the last 17 years.
Tell us real quick, the headquarters and the webpage, if you'd like, so our listeners could check this out. They may be pretty well... we're nodding heads here. Mary, you want to talk about this in a bit? Yeah.
That's okay.
Well, just hold on for a second. So, okay, we can move on to what... Yeah, Mary, let's ask... We can move on to Mary. Mary, I'm sorry, the host is awfully confused here. But it's community radio, as I was mentioning, that's the whole... the charm and of the beauty of it. I'll quit talking now. Mary, tell us, first of all, what are your hobbies and interests? And also, perhaps you'd be talking a little bit about Farm Radio International. What's your hobbies and passions you like to do?
Oh, well, I'm a registered nurse, retired public health. A long part of my career was in as a nursing educator, professor, and interest in global health as well. And actually taught here at Conestoga College for many, many years. And my connection, or my hobbies, I actually love photography. I love watching the weather, any natural phenomenon, very, very close to the land myself, having grown up on a farm and also, have a hobby farm now that we have, don't have as many animals or anything now, but, always close to the land and watching the trees and just experiencing nature as much as I can. Mm. And farm radio is a phenomenon. It's an incredible organization that started with a farm radio commentator, George Atkins, mm-hmm. Who many of our listeners, if you're of a certain age like me, will remember the CBC Farm Broadcast.
And your host.
And your host. CBC Farm Broadcast for Ontario and Quebec. He started after farming on our family farm for a number of years. Got so involved in communication for junior farmers, etc. Farm Radio Forum on the radio. He was a participant. He joined CBC and he was the host of. And then it became Radio Noon. And some of you will remember Market Reports, the Craigs skits. You know, a radio drama.
Yeah, I'd like to know more about that sometime.
Yeah. And for some of you who might remember, it was a pretty special time. And then it started with more interest in urban agriculture and people wanting to kind of capture those sorts of thoughts and ways of living and having your food close, grown close to you. That all started kind of a real interest in the more modern day. In 1974 or 1975, it was my dad actually, and I was a farm girl growing up on this farm, bringing cattle in when I was 8 years old with the dog
from the day pastor, making sure I closed all the gates. There were gates in those days. So he went off in 1975 on a secondment. He was to the Commonwealth Workshop for Farm Broadcasters training with All India Radio. And he was out in Africa in Sierra Leone, or sorry, Zambia. And he was on a bus. If you look at the farmradio.org is the actual website. There's a video of my dad. It was shot in 2009, a few months before he passed, but he tells the whole story. He was sitting on a bus with a gentleman, a broadcaster from Nigeria, Olia Woli Aronley, in the island, and he was in between in a jump seat was an Abdul Sese from Sierra Leone, and he said, "What do you broadcast?" He was talking about the mechanics of broadcasting and teaching and stuff. And they said, "Well, we talk about spark plugs and changing spark plugs on your tractors." And then he turned to the other gentleman and he said, "What do you talk about?" He said, "Well, fertilizers. We talk about pesticides and such." And so then he turned back to the first gentleman and he says, "Well, how many people have tractors in your listening audience?" And he said, "Well, maybe 1 in 80,000 has a tractor." And what is your listening audience? 800,000 people. And so my dad said, "So you're talking to 1 in 18, whatever, farm broadcasters." And he said, "That's interesting." And then the other gentleman, and he pretty much said the same thing, and that they were concerned about soil quality and all kinds of things. And so my dad, it was just like a light coming on, literally, in that moment. He said, "Well, if you had information using, you know, about animal manure and looking after your oxen and cultivating and planting and helping get your crops yield up and animal safety, basic things for your subsistence farming, would that help? Would that be useful?" And they said, "Most definitely." And that started a quest. I came home. He was so excited. I'll never forget when he came in the door after that trip. He spent the next 4 years traveling all over the world. It was actually, this started Central America, Africa, India, China, the Caribbean, all over. And he gathered stories from the communities of sustainable practices that met their needs, that worked for them. One was using wood ash for weevils, to choke the weevils in the grain bins, preventing reproduction instead of putting lindane on, which is a pesticide which people can get poisoned. There are a huge number of poisonings in that part of the world, and that's what this farmer did. So he put that in a package. And it was one of the early ones, but on May 1st, 1979, they mailed out a first package of scripts, which were culturally sensitive, content appropriate, accessible to a network of 34 broadcasters in 26 countries. And that was the beginning. And now, if you look on the website, you can look package number 124 was sent out in December of last year, all about intercropping and cover crops and all that sort of thing. But way back in 1980, 85, back in there, they were talking about growing your own, propagating your own trees and building windbreaks and holding the soil and all that kind of thing. So climate, a huge driver of this, even back 40 years ago. Farm Radio this year on May 1st is celebrating its 45th anniversary. Innovation, giving voice to broadcast to all of the farmers out there.
more on that as the time goes on in our explanations. But it's an unbelievable story, and it lives, and it's the people creating a lot of the content now are in Africa, and they've all. It's a quite a story.
You have a lot of thanks, Mary. That's a lot of good stories you have there. So we're gonna go take a break for another song here and come back and follow up on some a little bit more about your agriculture story. You got ahead of us here, Mary. Good work so far. I want to, and after we play the song, I'll ask Azad to talk about his agricultural story and how he ended up here on a Tuesday afternoon. And then in the next segment of that, we'll get back to things you want to circle back to. Maybe we can continue on your stuff. Maybe Azad is coming up. Okay, with that, let's play the next song. What's queued up there? This is your song, Mary?
Here we go. This was chosen by the network.
You can play it if you like.
Green leaf, green leaf. Program it to say. Green leaf, green leaf. Program it to say. Green leaf. Yeah, yeah, mommy, me. Green leaf, yeah, you're fifina. She too funny, reliable, and it dependable, and it trustworthy. Oh, number farmers, aggregators, input dealers, mujemu fana magazine, mujemu kole business, ne green leaf program.
Mulize,
Monica Sela. Green Leaf Program.
Green
Leaf Program. Green Leaf Program. Bonica Sela.
Julie Yafena. Kemujisuba.
Green Leaf Program.
I'm John Jameson, and you're listening to CKMS 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo.
Hi, this is jazz musician, singer, and songwriter Tim Lewis. You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. We're live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, or on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, or on the Internet. Community Radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word, and through music.
Hi, folks, we're back, and thanks again for listening in today. My gosh, we have so much to cover. Mary has done a great job here talking about her history with Farm Radio International. What's her agricultural story? Gazah, I will pose a question to you, and you can answer in any fashion you like. Maybe you're talking about your hobbies again, but tell us your agricultural story. How did you end up here on a Tuesday afternoon in Kitchener and Waterloo talking about agriculture?
Thank you, Jeff. Growing up, I remember I grew up in Addis. That is a capital city, actually, in a place called Mercato. Mercato is like the ghetto of Addis Ababa. So I was not exposed as such what agriculture and what goes in day-to-day making the food is, even though I knew. Because everything we buy it from the community farmers close by, or the vegetable gardens, etc. We had one radio I remember vividly, and while children, we were not allowed to touch it, and it was all wrapped up and nicely made clothes, and he puts it up on the cupboard so that we children don't touch it, because I always feel there are inside little people talking, because I could have opened it, right? So maybe that's why my father never allowed us to touch his radio. So he comes, 8, I always remember this, 8 o'clock at night, the radio is open, and battery for the radio is expensive. So he opens it, he listens news, what's happening, and some agricultural program, what's happening, because right after that, there is agricultural programs, you, and then he closes it. Mm. That's it. Mm-hmm. And we listen to it. So what happened is in 1990, during the Great Famine in Ethiopia, mm-hmm. I traveled one Canadian organization called Canadian Physician for Aid and Relief. I'm a trained engineer, so they asked me to go into the countryside, much more to be exposed and also design them a dirt road and a place where they could store grains and oil, which is coming from the Canadian government. At that time, it was called CEDA. Mm. So I went there and I saw what day-to-day farming means and how much farming means. Farming means life there. At that time, because the farming failed, people were dying. That's the great famine in Ethiopia. So that opened my world. I never went back into what I was trained as an engineer, but I ended up working in charities like CIPAR and now Farm Radio International. So I keep working with farmers. I keep working, hearing their stories and going out to talk about how much the world needs the farmers. It's sometimes the other way around.
Yeah.
It's not only they who needs us, it is actually us we need them. So any support we do, we talk about sustainable agriculture now. This was being practiced 100 years ago, long ago, sustainable agriculture by the farmers everywhere across the world, whether it is the native farmers or farmers in Africa.
Yeah.
But sustainable agriculture has always been there before the big companies come in and start dumping fertilizers and all sorts of stuff. So don't get me into that, Jeff.
Yeah.
I'll stop here.
Well, that's a good story, and I'm glad you had your chance to talk about the agricultural story. So what we're going to do, we're going to play our next song, and we're going to come back, and I'll tell you what the next segment's about. It's kind of a fun, it's just sort of to wrap up question, but let's play the next song, and what's queued up there, and maybe we can come back and talk a little bit about it.
So Photo Symphony is a song which was commissioned.
You played it already. Yeah.
That's the long one, right?
Yeah, yeah. And we could just play some of it. This is Andrew Ford is a composer. It's a science-based song, a symphony, actually, of four very short movements. We'll hear a little bit of it, maybe a couple of the movements, which are quite short. But in science, it's known that plants respond to a unit of sound frequency, and they talk about 115 to 250 hertz. Average for this particular symphony was 115 hertz. Plants actually grow towards water. They grow towards certain sounds. They change their behavior in natural environments. In Africa, where the elephants go through, they actually learn to be thicker stemmed animals. Plants, when the bees come close, the flowers open, the sound of their wings. So these movements, each stage of plant growth. So the first movement is African soil, where life begins. The second is seeds of groove, where you plant the soil seeds in the soil and they begin to grow. Emerald synthesis is our photosynthesis processes of greening and growing and lush. And you'll hear the various variations if you do download it off the website. And Beautiful Harvest is the last movement. If you go to www.farmradio.org, you can download Photo Symphony and listen and play it to your plants. And that's one reason why it was created, so that people could actually use it for plant growth. Here we go, the first two movements.
I'm Michaela.
And I'm Megan.
And you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.
Hello, this is the Tugboat of the Tugboat.ca. Community Radio CKMS is the voice of the people by the people. I support CKMS 102.7 Radio Waterloo.ca because it's the real deal.
And once again, thank you, dear listeners, for being with us today while we do our show about Farm Radio International with our great guests today, Marianne Gazan. And don't forget, they have a website. Check that out. Go online, Google Farm Radio International. Now, we want to have this section of the show, and I like to pleasantly call it, you know, questions you wish the host would ask, but the dumb guy didn't. That's me. So our guest, I'm sure, would have something they'd like to follow up on. We'll do that. I was also remiss. We do have a listener chat feature on our website, and if you were so inclined, you could go there, post a question. Mary's monitoring that, and I think there's one in already, just a comment that we'll mention that when we get around to it. But let's. Is there one on there, Mary, we can respond to? I think Eleanor posted something, right? What did she say there? Oh, Afghan, he's got something there. Is there video? Okay, I can hardly read those guys. What did they say? What are the quotes there? Can you read those, Mary? No, that's right. Don't do that. Okay, so here we go. Eleanor has posted a question. Says, great and good luck for the show. And another listener, Agfan, is asking if there's video. So maybe in a show coming up, we can do video at some time. So with that, Post some more if you want, but let's get this segment going here. Who wants to start? We've covered a lot of stuff here, Mary. Anything you want to finish off our broadcast with, we'll be glad to hear about it. Anything you wish I would have asked, but I didn't.
That's all right. Radio is, as you know, community radio is phenomenal in terms of reaching people where they are, when they are, when they can listen. Accessible. It's reasonably priced. It's nimble. It's in Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, and Africa, there are over a billion people who have access to radios. Many people own radios, and out in the rural, far rural areas, with Farm Radio International, they actually have listening groups. And we have radios that wind up, that have solar power. On the website, it shows pictures of these radios. Originally, it was little transistor radios back in the day, but now people can actually plug in and they can provide feedback to the radio station. ELIZA is the system they use. Yeah. Kind of with their questions, their comments, their needs and wants as far as what they wish to hear about or what they need to learn further based on what's been happening. And
if our listeners would want to donate to it, how would they do that?
If you go to the website www.farmradio.org, explore the website. It's really amazing. If you go to the publications over the years, all of the programs, partnerships that we have with many, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was at the very beginning that helped us early on to evaluate the effectiveness. There's incredible uptake of the information that people hear on radio where they actually go out and practice it, like penning in their animals, using their manure, managing their guinea hens so that they can have a high protein diet, and from the eggs and raise them, and you know, it's just and use grow high protein drought resistant corn maize, so it helps the gender women and gender. They use skits. They use on-air methods to help people understand various attitudes and property ownership, all of those kinds of things. So, so I have a microphone here. It's a talking stick, Maasai, and it actually looks like a microphone, but it is a talking stick from the culture, and I'm going to hand it over to Gizao now, which is symbolic of...
You
want
the booklet?
Oh, yeah. Symbolic of the way Africa, the broadcasters in Africa are creating so much of the content now based on local needs, local partnerships, local experts. So it's truly sustainable. And that's
great. Thank you, Mary. That's great. There's so much to talk about. I don't know where to start, but we'll come back and get some more of that stuff. Go to Farm Radio International, check out their site, and then you can follow up a lot of stuff that Mary's talking about. Gazah, the same question to you. Are there things you'd just like to bring up before we finish our show, something that you want to go back to or bring up new topics? What's on your mind at this stage of the show?
Well, I just want to let the listeners know that we work in over 38 countries in sub-Saharan Africa, and we have reached over 60 million people. You may not even, you would be surprised. And we have regular 24.1 million regular listeners, and out of these, 4.8 million improved their farming health or nutrition practice. And we have 369 radio station partners we are working with. So, and we have trained over 7,965 individual broadcasters receiving our resources. So the list goes on, and we have been over since George started. We have been over 45 years working in sub-Saharan Africa. Yep. So most of our team members are stationed, staffed, and work in Africa, across Africa.
Yeah, great story. So like I said before, you could check out that website. You'll get some more. And it's just been fun to have a conversation so far, and lots of more to go yet, folks. We got one more song to play before we do our final extra from the show. And what's this last song, and what can you tell us about it?
You'll be familiar with this song. It's you would have heard it sung by Louis Armstrong. It's A Wonderful World, one of the favorite of my dad, played at his funeral. It's sung here by Playing for Change, an amazing organization that joins voices around the world to inspire and connect the world through music. It's shared belief that music has the power to break down barriers and overcome distances between people and among people. It's called A Wonderful World. So take a listen here and hear all the voices. You'll hear various groups. It starts in Africa and it also features Grandpa Elliot, who was a street musician in New Orleans. He sings part of it. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but check it out online, Playing for Change. It's A Wonderful Life. And it is a wonderful life.
Blessed days and the dark secret night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going.
Well, folks, you've been very patiently listening, and what a great time we've had today with our guests from Farm Radio International. I always like to put my guests to work. I am so merciless to these poor folks. I'm going to ask them to do a station promo, maybe two of them. And so I don't know who wants to start first, but maybe because I – oh, you want to go first here, Mary? Mary, you're going to look up there at that thing there, and you're going to do one that's going to say – you always introduce yourself first, and one will say just the station, and one will say Farm Radio. Okay,
yeah, okay. Go ahead. This is Mary Atkins Carley broadcasting to you from CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo on behalf of Farm Radio International.
Take care. I got two birds and one stone in that one because I can take the first part of just a simple introduction. That's great. Because I would like to try one. Go ahead. You can do a couple of takes if you want, but try the first intro right off the bat.
This is Gizal Shubro from CKMS 102.7 Radio Waterloo. Salam. Asante Sana.
You want to do another one and talk about Farm Radio Connection? You would say, this is Gizal from Farm Radio International, yeah. And you're at.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
This is Gizal from Farm Radio International at Radio Waterloo.
That works. Okay, folks, we're going to get into our last bit of our show right now. First of all, you got the microphone there, Gizal. What are you doing the next 2 hours, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 20 years if you want to go that far? What are you doing the next 2 hours?
I'm going to go out for lunch with my wife. She's here, and maybe I don't know what plan Mary has. Maybe we'll go together with Mary. I haven't asked her yet. Mm-hmm. So that's the plan in the coming 2 hours, and then travel back to Brampton. And in the coming 2 days, yeah. We'll be traveling to Ottawa office, and we have meetings with the headquarters staff. I was traveling in Africa for the last couple of months. I just got back 2 weeks ago, so we are going to discuss management and budgets, and it's a new financial year. So that's nice. What I will be doing in the coming 2-3 days.
Mm-hmm. And 2 weeks?
In the coming...
2 months? I forget now.
In the coming 2 months, I will be traveling back again to the field. We have Canadian volunteers coming. We have lots of other works because this is the beginning of the new financial year. So I'll be most likely going back. We have also meetings happening across, so I'll be doing that. In the coming 2 years, 20 years, I think I'm looking... towards retirement, so that I do the things I'm very passionate about.
And that's reading, if I'm not mistaken. You like to read.
I like to read very much.
Okay, I can see the future here. Mary, same question to you. Start off, two hours, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months. Go ahead.
Okay, sure. I would love to have lunch with you, Gizal, and your wife. That would be lovely. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to start in the garden because we've left all of our leaves down mulching, so the pollinators had the best chance of getting through their winter cycle, clearing out the beds and getting starting ready for the gardening, and getting those peas and onions in. And this year I'm going to try and plant cowpeas or black-eyed peas, which they did in Ghana, highest protein, fiber, amazing a legume. Everyone should use them here in Canada too. I'm going to plant those this year. I actually would love in the next year to go back. I was in Tanzania and I was in Ghana on a learning trip tour with supporters for Farm Radio International. A really phenomenal opportunity to meet farmers out in the community and see farm research going on a small scale with biofuel to power a hot plate from a cow, cow dung, same farmer harvests vanilla, opens each vanilla orchid blossom and pollinates it himself. He has intercropping. It's unbelievable. So
And to meet some guinea hen farmers who had a listening group out in the community, and they were about 4 hours out in the country at the end of a riverbed. That's when the road stopped.
About 2 years. What are you doing 2 years?
2 years. Well, I'm 77 now. I'm not afraid to say my age. I'm hoping to be well and continue with I do health advocacy and environmental stuff. Tonight, I'm going to the local historical society meeting in our community to our AGM. So there you go. Anyway, thank you for this wonderful opportunity for Gazelle and I. It was really, really, and community radio at its best. Absolutely. Just like FRI.
Love it.
Well, you know, you guys are very special guests, as all my guests are, but yours is unique because it is about it's about radio, right, and community radio, and why we are in the same business in many different ways. I just want to thank you for making a trip down from the Toronto GTA area to visit with us today, and it's just a great selection of music and some great stories. And so, folks, with that, come back in 6 days and 23 hours. We'll do this again with either a new guest or a repeat show. And don't forget, if you eat this week, thank a farmer. And if you're a farmer, thank a consumer. See you later. Bye for now.